Well, thank you for everyone for coming out tonight. We're still in Romans. That's where we're going to be at. We're going to be in Romans 13, 8, 9, and 10 are the scriptures we're going to cover tonight. But I'm going to take you back from the beginning when we started this series and bring us up to where we are right now. So let's go back to and bring ourselves up to speed. In Romans is all about God's righteousness. Agreed? Yes. It's all about. And we practice God's righteousness. He tells us how to do it, how to love each other, how to take care of each other. He gives us everything that we need in Romans to live a godly life. So let's go back to Romans 1, 18 through 8:39. We learned of the principles of righteousness of God. We have examples. If somebody will turn to Romans 1, 16 and 17 and read that. And in Romans 1:21 through 23, we see righteousness needed. And it reads, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures." So we see that righteousness is needed in mankind, all of mankind. So in Romans 9, 1 through 11, 36, we've learned the problems of the righteousness of God. And we have an example for that, and that was in Romans 9, 1 through 5. We read this as Paul writes this. Paul writes, "I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and increasing grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed, separated from Christ, for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises, who are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen." So we see here that Paul's perplexing question was, why is all of Israel rejecting the gospel? Why then? And that's what we read here in problems with the righteousness of God for some. And as we go on, we've gone over the practices of the righteousness of God from Romans 12:1. And then that's where we're at now, starting with this, the practices of righteousness of God, starting with 12:1. We've learned how to live for the Lord in 12:1 through 8. If someone would read that, please. So in all of this, we see the Lord is teaching us how to live for him, how we live, okay? And then in from 9 to 21, we've learned how to love for the Lord. And that's all explained from verse 9 all the way to 21. "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So this explains how we are to love for our Lord, each other, and the world, of course. And that's what brings us up to where we are right now. In the first part of Romans 13, it talks about governing authority and how we are to live within our land and be under subjection to the laws of our land. And we've gone through that. I'll finish that part off with verse 7. It says, "Render to all what is due them. Tax to whom tax is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." So that's how we are to live in this world under the governing authorities. So that brings us to verse 8. And that's where our text is going to be at from now, from verse 8 through 10 is only where our study is going to be at. Let me read you, I got a couple definitions out of the Bible, out of the Webster's Dictionary. So let me read these, and you tell me what word I'm explaining here. The first one is something selected to show the nature of character of the rest. To behave so as to be a pattern or model for others to imitate. Something selected to show the nature or character of the rest. That don't mean like sleeping or that type of rest. The rest, to be an example to everyone, okay? To behave so as to be a pattern or model for others to imitate. Example. There you go, example. Yeah, that's example. Okay, one more. Tender desire for all of mankind. Mankind's devotion to and desire for God. Now, this is out of Webster, so... Take it with a grain of salt. It's love. We'll get on with it. Not the old Webster. This is a newer one. Yeah. This is collegiate. Yeah. Yeah. So that one was love. It's tender desire for all of mankind. Okay. Mankind's devotion to and desire for God. All right. So let's start with verse 8 in Romans 13. In verse 8, it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to before you tonight, Father, to learn more about you and how you love us and how you expect us to love others, Father. Father, I pray for each and every one of us here tonight that we do not hold anything against anybody in our hearts, Father. I pray, Father, that... After tonight's lesson, Father, that if the Holy Spirit condemns us in any way on how we are to love one another, Father, I pray that that will happen, and the one that is being condemned will repent, Father. So, Father, I thank you for what we're about to receive and give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the command to love one another is written 16 times in the New Testament. And if you notice in verse 8, it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Well, let's do 12, 13, and 14. Do you notice in the first part of verse 8, it says, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another? Do you think that includes debt? Does debt fall in this area right here, being in debt? We know what debt does. And what it has done to this nation. Can we do a little, can you imagine if there was no debt in our country or in the world, what the world, can you imagine what the world might be like without it? I mean, you'd have no needs. You would have no fleshly needs because all of debt is all fleshly need. It has nothing to do with the spiritual except to love one another. And that's the only thing it has anything to do with it. I heard somebody say one time that debt is the result of it's the result of not loving God or your fellow human being. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he put it a different way, but that's what he was saying. So we are to owe nothing to anyone except love. And he goes on, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. And that's interesting, because we are to, that's the title of our lesson. We are to be examples of the laws of God. That should be our examples. So it's a fulfillment that we love one another and not do things that cause upset in the things God has created. Oh, yeah, it's definitely a command. Mm-hmm, it's a commandment, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. Yes, I do. It is a commandment, and I agree wholeheartedly. We find in verse 9, love respects the rights of others. It says, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is the summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There it is again. There it is. And it's going to be repeated too. So love respects the rights of others. Look at Matthew 19:19. Look what the Lord says here. Interesting, huh, how he puts that. The respect that we have for those who have raised us is love. And that's 100%. It's not, you know, slacking in any way, in any way. And it goes on in verse 9. The right, love respects the rights of others. It's the right of marriage. In the first one on your, thou shalt not commit adultery, is the first one that goes in that blank. The next one is love respects the right to live. Thou shalt not kill. And the next one is, love respects the right of property. Thou shalt not steal. And love respects the right of truth. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And the last one there is, love respects the right to ownership. Thou shalt not covet. Let's go to Leviticus 19. You guys know where I'm going with this. You've been through this before. Leviticus chapter 19, 11 through 18. Would someone please read that? So there, it's all wrapped up in these laws that the Lord gave us. And in verse 10, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Okay? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We've read that so many times, and it should be embedded in our heart, our mind, and our spirit. In verse 10, love refuses to harm a neighbor or a friend. Love is the fulfillment of the law. Anything less than this is against the laws of God. Agreed? I know some of you are probably thinking that Jesus fulfilled all the laws. Well, yes, he did. But those laws which we are still under. Okay, we're not under the curse of the law anymore. The laws still abide and still apply to us as born again sons and daughters of God. So yeah, the laws were fulfilled by Jesus. They were all fulfilled. But we are not under the curse of the law anymore. No, we are not under it. Right. But the laws still apply in our lives. That's why all this in Romans chapter 13 is read this way. Some examples. Go to Galatians 5:14. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. What is the one word there? No. What is the one word there he's talking about? Underline you.
Oh, yeah.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Don't say me, it says you. Okay, look at 6 while you're there, 6, 1 and 2. This is another response of love. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. Again, these are instructions. And a couple examples that you don't have written down, you might want to go ahead and write down, is Luke 10. Now let's do Matthew 5, 43 through 48 first. This is where our pastor is teaching from right now, Matthew 5. And everything that we read in Matthew 5 gives us it gives me a face to look at, and that's my Heavenly Father. We're going to Matthew first. Matthew 5, 43 through 48. Jesus says this, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be what?" What does it say? What's the next phrase there? So that you may be, come on, help me. Sons of your Father in heaven, or sons of God. For he causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brother, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same thing? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now let's go to Luke. Luke 10, 25 through 37. You guys know this one by heart. Jesus giving an example. Please, would someone read that? So that concludes the study tonight. Anything come to mind? Anything come to heart from this? Cannot do it. That's exactly right.
When you got somebody.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. But yeah, it is hard if we try and do it by the flesh. But if we walk by the Spirit, we will be able to carry these out. It can be done. I agree. Because we read it right there in Romans 12. Renew your mind. He says, renew your mind. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you something. Your enemy knows at the right time to get you. He knows not only that. He knows at the right time when you're involved in something or something. That happened to me today. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit, and I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to go through about what happened, but it broke me, and he caught me at the right time when I was busy doing something else, and something interfered with my doing. That's when the Spirit collapsed in within me. Yeah. So that concludes. That was a kind of a quick lesson. I'm going to teach again next Thursday. I get 2 weeks in a row. That hasn't happened in a while.